Good morning and welcome to The Breakfast Show on Faith FM with Scappy and Lindsay. This is the best place to start your day with positive and uplifting thoughts. You're listening across Australia on 87.6, 87.8 or 88 depending on where you are, or you can listen to us through our Faith FM app anywhere in the world. Today it is Friday the 31st of July. It's the last day of July, guys. That's kind of crazy. This year is just flying past so quickly.
I am happy to say it's the end of the coldest month. Yay!
Woohoo! Yes, I'm excited about that too. I like the sunshine. I want more of it. Today I am sitting across, not from Scaffy. Scaffy's off living his best life at the snow. He's on holidays. I'm happy for him to be at the snow if I don't have to be anywhere near it. But today I am joined by Danny Malenkov. Welcome to the studio.
So glad to be here on The Breakfast Show, Lindsay, with you and my mate Goodshell. So, I don't know what I've done to experience this privilege, but whatever it is, I'm very happy to be here.
I am looking forward to the liveliness you bring to the show.
I know. I couldn't imagine being anywhere else on a freezing cold morning at 6 a.m.
I actually didn't think it was too bad this morning.
There was a bit of cloud cover. That's right. I was waiting for my windscreen to be all frozen over as it was yesterday.
I've only had that twice so far this season. So knock on wood.
It's been pretty good. Yeah, yesterday was a little bit, not a lot, but yeah, there was a little bit of frost there, but it wasn't too bad. But it's great to be here.
It is great to have you here. I am so keen to have this interaction. I'm curious, usually when you're in the studio, are you in that chair or in my chair?
I'm in the chair that I'm in right now.
Oh, well, I'm glad we're both happy.
Yeah, we're very happy.
To be where we belong. So
I'm just glad to be in any chair. I'm actually surprised that I'm still allowed in any chair with a microphone. I'm still surprised. I don't know how I've managed to get away with it all these years.
I'm nervous by that statement, though. Are you those kind of people who you go into a church and you're like, oh, no, somebody's sitting in the spot that I always like to sit in?
I'm not like
what
that.
What am I going to do?
Can I tell you a little story, actually?
Yes.
I was meeting my grandparents and my mom and stepdad at a church I had never been to before, but it was like their mother church, the first church they'd ever been to in Australia when they came from the motherland. And I got there a couple hours before they did. And I went in and the guy at the door said, take a seat anywhere you'd like. And I'm like, it's not a full church. I'll just go and sit in that spot over there. And when I did, this little old lady and somebody else beside her came and glared down at me. And then they sat just directly in front of me. And I was like, oh no, I sat in their seat.
I know. It was obvious.
Everywhere in the whole church you could have sat. I sat in their seat. Oh no. So I never went back.
Well, you should have looked out for those pillows, those soft cushions. Did they have soft cushions?
I can't remember.
Usually the old people have soft cushions. Sorry for all the old people out there. I'm not trying to be... But they usually have like special old cushions. And if it's like a fancy dancy old cushion, like decorated, it's handmade. And you know what I mean? They put a bit of effort.
You know, it belongs to someone specific.
You don't sit in that chair.
I think actually.
Whatever you do. But what I do is I often take those cushions and I use them, especially when you come across wooden pew.
Yeah.
There are some churches that still have wooden pews. They don't have like soft backing.
That's right. I think this church, all the pews have been properly packed and covered in red velvet or something like that.
I've had a very similar experience to yours, Lindsay, once at a church. And I was sitting in the back row and a gentleman walked up and he kind of humped at me, you know, and I'm like,
are you okay?
So I tried to like strike up a conversation and he sort of disappeared and he came back with like an elder or somebody. I don't know who he was dragging over to be like, just letting you know that this is our friend's normal spot. He likes to sit in it. I'm like, oh, okay, I can sit someplace else, you know. And so I moved. And then they both found out I was the wife of the visiting pastor and got very embarrassed. And I'm like, you know what? You should be embarrassed anyway, not just because of that.
It's a good learning moment for them.
Oh, man.
We like to start off with gratitudes first thing in the morning. What are we grateful for this morning?
Grateful for life.
For
life. And I praise the Lord every day. I was sharing with someone just yesterday that we live in Australia. Yeah. Like Australia is not what it used to be when my parents turned up, you know, some 50 plus years ago. But it's still an amazing country compared to many other places around the planet. So I praise God that I live in this country.
Yeah, amen. What about you, Shel?
Oh, there's so many things to be grateful for. I, this morning, am very grateful for trucks.
Trucks?
Big trucks and vans and utes. And cars.
Like you've been hanging out with your grandson.
I have. My youngest grandson is just going through like this phase where every vehicle that goes past, we have to yell out what it is, you know? We're like, that's a truck. Yeah. And
that's so good.
Yeah. And I drove them home. They rode with me this morning. And so every vehicle, the headlights that were coming, we were trying to figure out what it was.
Yeah. I'm grateful for friends that you can pray with. There's a couple of girls that I've connected with recently. We're praying for the single people in this country, and we're all single, so we're praying, how can we make an impact? How can we get people together? And so that's what we're praying for.
Amen. Amen.
Godly people together.
Amen. So in today's show, we have a great show coming up, obviously, with Danny here. How could it be anything but amazing?
What else would you expect?
Exactly.
That's the only reason why I come to really sort of boost the show and the quality of the show.
Hey.
In our More Like Him segment, we're going to be talking about feasts and confessions in Nehemiah chapters 8 and 9. We're going to be looking at how 3,000 eye surgeries were done recently in one location. We're going to be talking about Fauci exposed, and we're going to be interviewing Simon Pazitsky about the body clock and the circadian rhythm. And we're also going to be, in our Encounter with God segment, going to be talking about liberty and love in 1 Corinthians 8.
You're listening to the Breakfast Show podcast on Faith FM, positively different.
We have a quiz now, and look,
you are the quiz master.
She's so competitive.
I know. She told me. She gave me the heads up. That was her main take home line when she rang me up last night to make sure I was all on board. She's like, by the way, I'm very competitive.
Bring your game, and
I'm very good at quizzes. And she said it like 50 times, almost as many times as Fauci pleaded the Fifth Amendment, which was like over 100 times. Anyway, we're going to get to that story later. So I have been having bad dreams that, like, I was just like, what's your name? I can't remember what my name is. I was having bad dreams last night because of it.
Oh, crazy.
Well, let's see how well you can remember this.
Who was the first person that God created? What was his name? Can't remember. What was his wife's name? Can't remember. It was that bad. Anyway, we'll see how I go.
All right.
We'll see whether I've recovered from my nightmare.
You ready to go quick?
I know you can get to this one. All right, it's going to be speed. People are going to have to think it through.
Where do I have to write it on that? On the pad?
If you want, or you can use a computer, whatever
just,
you want.
Just make sure it's large enough that I can read it, but that you don't show it to Lindsay at the same time.
Okay, okay.
She'll cheat. She cheated.
Accidentally.
So with her, it's like win at all costs.
Yeah.
Win at all costs.
All's fair in love and war.
All right, let's go.
All right, quiz question number one. Listener, I hope you're ready as well. What book of the Bible comes after Jonah? What's the next book in line after Jonah? Oh, we've got it. Oh, we got one correct answer.
Can't believe it. What a start. What a start. I'm finishing up here. That's it. I'm not part of the quiz anymore.
It's okay. This is just a false sense of security.
I think I'm being set up. I think I'm being set up here. Like, I've got this very happy moment. I'm feeling, you know, warm and fuzzy right now. And now the reality is going to kick in. They've set me up, folk. They have set me up.
Okay.
They were here whispering to one another when I sneaked into the studio. And I reckon they were saying, we'll give him one at the beginning to get him all excited, get his hopes up, and then we'll come in like a bulldozer.
Yeah.
All right. The number is 0491-064-669. For those of you who don't have us saved into your phone, which – shame on you. Come on, save us into your phone. 0491-064-669 is our number to text in. What book of the Bible comes after Jonah? The very next one. What is it? Oh, we're getting correct answers coming in.
Okay. We are now going to jump into our More Like Him segment for today. And we're going to pick up in Nehemiah and the end of chapter 8. Danny, Did you do any reading? Did I tell you where to look last night?
I think you did. I think you did.
I think doesn't sound convincing.
No, you did.
That means I was told but didn't do it, right?
That's okay. That's okay.
I'm looking at this chapter, which I have read, but yes. Not last night.
That's okay. All right. We're going to pick up in verse 13. Mm-hmm. So previously we were talking about Ezra reading the law out to all of the people who were in Jerusalem, even the little children who were just old enough to understand, and they were standing the whole time, so there was no nodding off and snoring in church.
And even in the rain.
Even was it raining?
No, maybe not there, but on another occasion, yeah, while it's raining, the people are listening. This reminds me of like the islands.
Ah.
You go to Papua New Guinea, yeah. Solomon's, you're preaching the gospel there night by night. It can be raining and the people come out and they listen in the rain.
They did. Yeah, I experienced that when I was in PNG.
Did you?
One night it was raining. It was freezing cold in the highlands of PNG.
There was
500 people out there listening. Yeah. Wow. And then the next morning only 200 people turned up because half of them got sick.
Wow.
And then we had to pray for them all to get better again. So
they could be there the night.
Yeah, and they were. So.
Look, it's just incredible the commitment of these people. Yeah, so yeah, I remember that in Nehemiah. But anyway, you carry on.
Yeah, okay. So we're going to pick up now in verse 13. Would you like to read out that last passage to the start of verse 9?
From
8:13 to verse 18.
Okay, sure. Here we go. So on October 9, the family leaders of all the people, together with the priests and Levites, met with Ezra, the scribe, to go over the law in greater detail. As they studied the law, they discovered that the Lord had commanded through Moses that the Israelites should live in shelters during the festival to be held that month. He had said that a proclamation should be made throughout their towns and in Jerusalem, telling the people to go to the hills to get branches from olive, wild olive, myrtle, palm, and other leafy trees. They were to use these branches to make shelters in which they would live during the festival as prescribed in the law. So the people went out and cut branches and used them to build shelters on the roofs of their houses, in their courtyards, in the courtyards of God's temple, or in the squares just inside the water gate and the Ephraim gate. So everyone who had returned from captivity lived in these shelters during the festival, and they were all filled with great joy. The Israelites had not celebrated like this since the days of Joshua, the son of Nun. Ezra read from the book of the law of God on each of the 7 days of the festival. Then on the eighth day, they held a solemn assembly as was required by the law.
Alrighty.
Wow.
So what's going on here, Danny?
Well, they are following in the footsteps of Moses and the people of Israel when God gave them the festivals. And this is the festival of tabernacles, as it's probably better known, or the festival of shelters.
Or booths.
Or booths, yes.
Lots of little names.
This is where they kind of made these little tents, you could say. Yeah. You know, that's probably how we would compare it today.
The big camp meeting.
This was their big camp meeting. So this was after the Day of Atonement celebration. Well, it was a very solemn day, the Day of Atonement. It was the most solemn day in the Hebrew religious calendar when all the sins were taken out of the sanctuary and were transferred out of the camp, you know, onto that scapegoat and so on and so forth. So, yeah, so this reminded them of their time in the wilderness. This is what that was designed to be, to remind them of their time in the wilderness when God had protected them for those 40 years between Egypt and moving into the Promised Land.
What do you think was the significance of, I guess, this festival, this time of staying in shelters, reminding them of their forefathers out in the wilderness? Like, what kind of impression was that meant to give them, do you think?
Well, as I think about...
Because this is a memory event.
This is a memory event. Well, like Passover.
Yeah.
All these events they had every single year, they were memory events, as you point out. This was to remind them that the same God who protected them for 40 years in the wilderness, and I've been into that wilderness of Sinai, and it's hot. It's very, very hot. So God, through the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of cloud by night, either provided air conditioning during the day or heating at night.
Pillar of fire by night.
Provided food for them, manna for them. He provided water for them out of the rock. God provided for them. He made provision for them. So it was to continue to remind the children of Israel throughout their entire, you know, history that the same God who provided for them during those 40 years is the same God that will continue to provide for them as they put their faith and trust in him day by day. Yeah, he hasn't changed.
I think that's so valuable, especially like for the Israelites as they came out of Egypt early on in the piece, to have that memory because, you know, they've come into the land of Canaan, the land of flowing with milk and honey and abundance, right? It could probably be really easy to slip out of that understanding that God is the one ultimately who is really actively involved in providing. And now hundreds of years later, these people have just come back from being in exile from in Babylon, and they're coming back to start to rebuild the city of Jerusalem and reestablish themselves in the land. It's a really excellent reminder for them in that moment that, hey, God is still providing for them. They've just finished building the wall and hanging the gates and looking at the genealogies and seeing where they fit in the story of Israel. And now they're about to go through this time of the Festival of Tabernacles where they're being reminded of God's provision for them once again.
Absolutely. And, you know, you reminded me, and I'm trying to find it here, when God actually does warn them through Moses, you're going to get into the land of promise. Don't forget how the Lord has led you. You're going to come across, as you pointed out, you know, a land of food and plenty, and, you know, cities that you haven't built and towns that you haven't built will be there for your taking.
Yeah.
And so don't forget. And it's interesting here, just reading in Deuteronomy 6, verses 10 to 12. Listen to this. The Lord your God will soon bring you. This is Moses speaking to them. This is farewell address, okay, before they're about to go into the land of Canaan and before he is about to depart. The Lord your God will soon bring you into the land he swore to give you when he made a vow to your ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It is a land with large, prosperous cities that you did not build. The houses will be richly stocked with goods you did not produce. You will draw water from cisterns you did not dig, and you will eat from vineyards and olive trees you did not plant. When you have eaten your fill in this land, listen to this, be careful not to forget the Lord who rescued you from slavery in the land of Egypt. So be careful not to forget. And you know what? That's a good lesson for us, Lindsay, because we live in a land of plenty. And it's easy for us living here in Australia to forget the abundant blessings of God that he has given to us.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree that
Because we're just like, yeah, whatever. We expect it.
Yeah, and almost like a sense of, what's that word, of you deserve. What's that word?
You deserve, yes.
Yeah.
Shell, can you help us out? What's another synonym for something we deserve? We are...
Synonym for what, sorry?
Deserving.
You know, when you think you just deserve something, it's...
Because, oh my goodness, I'm
because
bad.
You just deserve it.
It's on the tip of my brain. Anyway, there's a lot of people who just expect to get things in life because they've always had that. And when that's taken away from them, they're like, hold on, this is not what I signed up for when I was born. But you know what? This is not just for people living in a wealthy country like Australia. I think this is also for Christians as well, as we go through different seasons in life. And I don't know, have you ever been through a wilderness season in your life?
Oh, yes, indeed.
Yeah?
Yes, indeed.
Are you able to describe it a little bit? I'm happy to.
Well, as I think back, it's a time when I felt, I just felt that I wasn't really connecting with God.
Yeah.
This is many, many years ago, back, you know, 30-odd years ago almost. But, yeah, that's how I felt, just wasn't connecting. And it wasn't because God didn't want to connect with me. It was because I wasn't allowing God to connect with me.
You're listening to the Breakfast Show podcast on Faith FM, positively different.
We have a quiz answer and another quiz question.
Oh, here we go. I am ready.
Let's see if we can.
Where's your pen?
I've got my competitive pants on, ready to roll.
Okay, competitive.
Don't mess. No, well, look, you set me up. I've been practicing and preparing all night, last night, throughout the night. I didn't sleep. I was on AI asking for tips on how do I deal with Lindsay. I put in your characteristics. I put in Lindsay's age, characteristics, everything. And I said, this is how you overcome Lindsay.
What were its suggestions?
Get alive, go to sleep, don't bother. It asked, is she female? Yes. No comment. No further help or support. That's it.
You can't win.
I'm telling you, I have been married for over 30 years now, and I realize there's just no point in trying to win anything.
Can you tell that to my husband,
apart from win the race, to ask for forgiveness and apologize first. I'm really good at winning that race. I apologize. I'm sorry. I don't know what I did and why I'm apologizing, but I'm sorry.
Okay, so you're going to win the race and apologizing yes. for even trying.
Exactly.
To be right?
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, yep. Okay,
you got to learn from the comedian Jeff Foxworthy, who's like, whenever she's mad, I just say, sweetheart, I am not sure what I have done wrong, but I would like some time alone in my room to think about it.
I love it. I will go into the naughty corner.
Willingly.
Knowing that I have done something wrong, even though I don't know what it is. And maybe never will, but I know that I have.
If you're enjoying this band, let us know, because we're loving it. I don't know about you
Davo,
guys.
Davo's on board. Good on you, Davo. He's on board, isn't he?
Yeah.
There's a message from Davo. Mate, Davo from WA.
Yes.
Good to have you on board, mate.
He is listening in. All right. And he got the answer correct as
did
well.
Did he? And it's like 4 a.m. in WA when the breakfast show starts.
That's right. At this time of year.
I was there last
week. Sometimes it's 3 a.m. and wow. he's still Yeah,
that's true. Daylight saving.
He
yeah,
likes
I know.
To hear it live.
Davo is Faith FM's mascot, live mascot. Good on you, Davo. Big shout out.
And a great ambassador for the station. All right, so our answer to our quiz question number one.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have to get serious here for a minute.
Yeah.
Okay, the answer was Micah. That is the book that follows directly after Jonah.
Now I know.
Okay.
But of course.
Our next quiz question.
Mm-hmm. Ready?
Yeah.
Pen in hand.
Here we go.
Of what nation was Xerxes the king? Of what nation was Xerxes king? 0491-064-669. I do think Lindsay beat you by a fraction of a second, but you both were so fast.
This is like the swimming. She touched the wall like a split second before me.
It was very, very tight. 0491.
She's very fast at riding.
Yeah.
Man alive. All right, well, now reality's kicked in.
I only gave the first four digits of that number. I don't think anyone's going to get us from that, so I'm going to have to read it all.
Oh, sorry.
0491-064-669. We're after what nation was Xerxes king of?
All right. And we have Janelle saying, yes, I'm loving the banter and humor too. Thanks, guys. Big smile. Okay, and we also had some people send in a word to help us out earlier. We were looking for the word entitled. You guys got it for us. Amazing. So good.
Fantastic.
AI has also helped us with a whole bunch of other words that we could have for that too. You got worthy.
Well earned.
Admirable, entitled, qualified, but I love this one the best, meritorious.
Oh.
Meritorious, yes.
Sure. Rightio. Good times. All right, let's hop back into our More Like Him. We are looking at Nehemiah chapter 8, and we were just about to get into this conversation of, have you ever been in a wilderness season in your life? And you were beginning to describe a wilderness season that you've been through before.
Yeah. Well, it was, look, as I pointed out, it was only, I didn't realize that I was in a wilderness until my eyes were opened.
Mm.
And then I recognized that I was in a wilderness. Because I was just happily going along, thinking I was doing okay in my walk with the Lord. I was a pastor at the time.
Yeah.
I just started pastoring my first couple of years in New Zealand. By the way, any Kiwis out there, big shout out. Love the Kiwis. I spent 6 years there. Beautiful country, beautiful
I love
people.
Eating Kiwis.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't mind Kiwi fruit.
Anyway,
back. Where was I? I distract myself, let alone getting help. Lindsay, what hope have
you
I got?
Shell,
Shell, you know I'm really good at distracting myself. When someone actually distracts me, I've got no chance. So where was I? Oh, that's right. The wilderness. I was in the wilderness. I'm very much in the wilderness. I'm feeling like I'm in the wilderness this morning.
I'm cracking up too hard.
So, I was just drifting along in my faith experience, a little bit like what the Bible says in Revelation 3. It speaks of being lukewarm. Mm. That's what I was. I was lukewarm. I was neither hot nor cold. I was in between, and it's very comfortable to be in between, lukewarm. However, it's very deadly, as we know, what Jesus said. So anyway, it was only when the Lord sort of asked me, you know, just in my thoughts, there was no voice or anything like that I actually heard, but just through my conscience, God saying, hey, how are you going to be leading this congregation? Because I had been an associate pastor for the first 2 years in Palmerston North, and I don't mind sharing where that was, and then I was transferred to Hamilton Church, and I was there on my own, so there was nobody else. And so the question was, how are you going to lead? And so I was like, oops, I don't know. Maybe if I read a book, maybe if I find out what others are saying about ministry, maybe that might help. And so I went to different books and thought I'd follow this template and follow this plan. But then I realized, hey, what about going to the source? What about going to God? And then when I opened up God's Word and when I started reading and I started spending time with God, I realized how empty I was. I realized how dry I was because I thought I was okay. As the Bible says, you think you're rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. That's Laodicea's problem. But you have no idea that you're wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked.
Yeah.
And so I realized what my spiritual state was. Mm. And it was such a blessing, but yet it was also such a time of weeping.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe, you know, was I that barren and I had no idea? And so it's only when God opens our eyes, but yeah, admitting that you have a problem, admitting that you are in a wilderness is the first step.
Yeah.
And only God, through the Holy Spirit, through His Word, can make that evident to you. Otherwise, if you're comparing yourself to others, to yourself, or whatever you think is right, if that's your thermometer, you will just continue to drift, you know, happily in this lukewarm, apathetic spiritual state.
Yeah.
So, and not even realize you're in the wilderness.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think that's the most deadly thing.
Yeah.
So anyway, praise God. So that was my experience. That was back in 2001. I remember it.
Wow.
That's when I started pastoring for the first time by myself in Hamilton.
Yeah.
At the beginning of 2001. And it was about halfway through that first year that, yeah, the lights came on.
There you go. Let me describe to you my little experience with this. So I was living in Melbourne, and this was about 2020.
That's my home state. That's where I was born.
Oh, there you go.
And by the way, that church, I'm going to just throw her under the bus. That church that she was referring to, those red velvet seats.
with the glaring old lady.
That was the church I grew up in. Seddon Church, Seddon, inner West Melbourne. I was born in a hospital 5 kilometres away from that church, not even 3 kilometres away. So,
yeah, wow.
Yeah, so that explains a lot about me. I grew up in that church where people stare at you if you sit in their church.
Oh, my goodness. That's crazy.
Anyway, no, great people. I love the people. So if anyone's listening from over there.
Anyway.
Okay. back to Melbourne.
Back to my story. So I just moved to Melbourne in 2019. 2020, I think, around the beginning of COVID, or probably just before it started, I had this dream and I was standing in a line and there was a lady like sitting at a booth and she was giving everyone whatever their portion was. That's all I remembered. And then I was about to receive my portion. And as I woke up in the middle of the night, like 3 a.m., I heard the words Kadesh Barnea. And I was like, Kadesh Barnea? Like, I don't really know what that is, but I know it's in the Bible somewhere. Mm. So I had a look at 3 a.m. and I did a little Bible study. And, you know, there was a storm going on outside. The thunder was crashing and everything. And I'm doing this Bible study. And I learned that Kadesh Barnea was a place in the Bible where the Israelites continually rebelled against God.
Mm, true.
And then because of that, they had to enter their wilderness season officially. They could have gone straight to the promised land if it hadn't been for that moment.
Mm.
And instead they had 40 years in the wilderness. And so I was like, oh no, God, are you saying I'm about to enter a wilderness season? I'd never even heard of a wilderness season before. Mm. But that was my introduction to what was about to take place for the next couple of years, where I was, you know, stuck in Melbourne, didn't know anyone down there, went down there for a job, didn't have friends or family, had some friends that became toxic and really learned a lot of lessons in that time. But ultimately, at the end of it, I grew so much closer to God. Mm. I really learned to see God as my good father in that time. I ended up, you know, being in lockdown, not really having...
That's a wilderness experience in and of itself. Like, so you're in Melbourne during COVID.
And I'm a Queenslander. I need the sunshine.
Wow.
And he took me to Melbourne for this.
During COVID.
Just before COVID started.
Yeah.
So I got to be stuck there and go through my wilderness season and hate every single second of it. But you know what? I wouldn't change a minute of it now that I look back, because it's really helped grow me into the person that I am. Yeah. And I'm grateful for that, even though I hated and I wanted to get out of it all the time. There was a time where I was even spending 4 hours a day in prayer and Bible study.
Wow.
In that season. Mm. Now I look back and I go, I wish I could spend that much time, but I'm not in a wilderness season and it's not required of me at this point. I'd love to have all of that time, but I can take God with me wherever I go now that I've been through that season. And so I think it's really valuable to look back and reflect on a wilderness season in your personal life, or a wilderness season that has happened in the Bible, or a testimony of somebody else, because it can keep us from falling back into the patterns that we've been in before. Mm. And that's what the Tabernacles feast, the Feast of Tabernacles, was, I think, what that was really all about.
Mm, absolutely.
Was a reminder, hey, you know, you as a people have been through this before. Mm. You don't need to go through it again. Here's a little idea of what it feels like. Do you want to go back into tents for the rest of your days? You don't have to do that. Here are some lessons that you can learn from that situation.
Amen. And I think it's really important that we do have a wilderness experience every day where we step away from the world and spend time with Jesus.
Yeah.
You know, Jesus said, you know, to his disciples, let's step aside, come apart by yourselves and rest a while. So we need to take time out, because life is just so busy. It's so hectic. Like, you wake up with a to-do list, you go to bed, you know, thinking about your to-do list the next day. And so we're just swamped with busyness. We're swamped with, to-do lists and so forth. So we need time alone with Jesus. And if I don't have my time alone with Jesus every day, I feel like I'm praying on the run and running on empty. I really feel like I'm running on empty. So I think that's really important. Jesus spent time in the wilderness before he started his ministry, 40 days.
Yeah.
You've got John the Baptist, he was in the wilderness. You've got Elijah, he had a wilderness experience.
Moses,
all the way down.
Every great leader of the Bible has had a wilderness experience.
David was taking care of sheep.
10 years even on the run as well in the wilderness before he was officially made king.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that's a really valid point that you bring up, because a lot of the time we hear this title, wilderness experience, we want to shy away from it. We don't want to go through it because we know it's going to hurt, right? In some way, it's going to break us down to absolutely nothing. And then God will build us back up into something much better in him, right? Jesus went through it. Mm. He's the best example for us. When Jesus went through 40 days in the wilderness, at the end, Satan came to tempt him. But because he had been fasting and praying, he was strengthened in God's word resist the temptations and deceptions of the enemy.
That's right.
And he was so much more strengthened for the next 3 years of his ministry.
Absolutely. Absolutely. A wilderness experience is like a detox.
Yeah.
You come apart from life, you know, and this treadmill that we are on, and you spend time with Jesus, and he gives you and God then has an opportunity to reset you and help you to focus on the things of his kingdom. You know, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, Jesus said, and all these other things shall be added unto you. The problem is these other things can get in the way, and we need that detox, we need that reset, and we need that reset every day. And I believe the best time is in the morning. Reset in the morning.
Yeah.
Before you get up and going into your day, and just hand your day over to God, allow him to lead and guide. Ask him, you make the plans for me today. Yeah, I've got plans, but Lord, if those plans are not in harmony with your will, or if you've got better plans, dear Lord, you take over, you be in charge, you lead the way, let me follow your GPS for my life today.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that. And I have so many friends, and even friends who are studying theology at the moment, planning to become a pastor one day. And I'm like, okay, so what's your devotional life like? And they're like, oh, you know, I pray and read my Bible at night just before bed. And I'm thinking,
no,
you need to do it twice a day. Then that's good too. But ultimately, you need to start your day with Jesus.
You need to start your day. Well, we talk about breakfast. Okay, breakfast is the most important meal of the day.
Yeah.
You know, it breaks that fast. That's what it's called, breakfast. Breaks the fast that you've had overnight.
Gives you energy for the day.
Gives you energy, gives you strength. And so you want to give good, wholehearted breakfast.
Protein, absolutely. Absolutely. And healthy fats.
Absolutely. So your breakfast, your spiritual breakfast, needs to be God's word and prayer. And
it needs to be meaty.
Submit and surrender your day to the Lord.
Yep.
Why wouldn't you want him to take full control of your life first thing in the morning? Why wouldn't you want to feed on his word, the bread of life?
Yeah, if you skip breakfast in the word of God,
you're
just going to be starving, you're going to be snacking, you're going to be eating sugary things all day. You're going to be falling into temptation and sin.
And then you're going to wonder, easier. Why did I say that? Why did I do that? Why did I make that choice? And it's like,
why did I react that way?
I didn't begin with God.
Yeah.
Begin your day with God.
You're listening to the Breakfast Show podcast on Faith FM, positively different.
So good. We now have a quiz answer. Please, producer Shell.
So the quiz answer for number two was Persia.
Persia. That's right. Exactly.
And I need to know, so I'm really bad at geography. So Devo got some AI help, I think, to just get some answer here for his. But it said that being king of Persia, he was also king of and pharaoh of Egypt. So was he – do you know?
No idea.
Because that's not in the Bible. Persia's in the Bible, but
– Persia is, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Persia's modern-day Iran today. Modern-day Iran that's in the news every day is ancient Persia.
Was Persia ruling over Egypt at that time?
Yes, it would have been.
Okay, so he would have also counted as the
absolutely,
pharaoh,
yeah.
I think that's what he's trying
to get. But Persia would have been the more dominant.
Yeah, Persia was, and they had – they had various nations that they were in charge of, but they let them rule as long as they paid their taxes.
Awesome. Okay. So we have had a really epic conversation. So far today, we have more epicness to come. We have got a story about 3,000 eye surgeries coming up in the good news segment. We're going to be talking about Fauci exposed.
Oh, have mercy. This is a big story.
Yeah, we're going to be interviewing Simon Pedzisky about the body clock and the circadian rhythm. We're also going to be talking about liberty and love in 1 Corinthians chapter 8.
Thanks for being a part of the Faith FM family. Join our community on Facebook or get in touch at 1-800-FAITH-FM.